I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor this week. My name is SP, and I have two of my other reporters with me today for this episode number 193 of the Starling Tribune. The first one is Chris.
You have failed this city.
I always fail the city. And my other one is Michelle.
Last time you needed something from Argus, you had to steal it.
Since Argus just doesn't exist, I always have to steal everything from Argus, at least in our world. This podcast is recorded on Sunday, April 15th, 2018, Tax Day in the United States, and it is live via www.geeks.live.
That's right, and this evening as we record this, we'll be discussing Arrow, as well as interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could and very well will impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, and who knows what else they're going to add into this DC superhero lineup.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Thanks, guys! Michelle, I think you're up to break down the current episode of Arrow for us.
Yes, this episode is called Fundamentals. It's Season 6, Episode 18. It aired Thursday, April 12, 2018. Directed by Ben Hernandez-Bray. Credits include 2 episodes of Arrow, 2 episodes of Legends, 1 Supergirl, and 1 Lucifer. Written by Speedweed, who's done 13 episodes of Arrow and 7 Haven. And Emilia Ortega Aldrich. Credits include 12 episodes of Arrow and 4 Freedom Fighters The Ray.
Speedweed! Just had to say that.
I'm glad you beat me to it.
Go ahead and say it. I don't want to deprive you of it.
Speedweed!
You did it much better than I did. So this episode aired on last Thursday, the 12th of April. And during the week of 9 April 2018, there was a total of 4 CW superhero shows on television. On Monday, the 9th of April, Legends of Tomorrow with their season finale, The Good, The Bad, and The Cuddly, had a live rating of 1.41, and it is sorely underrated because this was an awesome episode, and I can't wait for the next season of Legends of Tomorrow. On Tuesday, Flash returned with their 17th episode of the 4th season. The episode was titled Null and Annoyed. I am getting a little bit repetitive about what's going on, but I did enjoy the Cisco part of the episode. It had a live rating of 1.82. And Tuesday, right after The Flash on the 10th of April, Black Lightning had the 12th episode of the season. I believe it's the penultimate episode, is it not, Michelle?
Yes.
The penultimate season 1 episode titled The Resurrection and the Light, The Book of Pain, to a live rating of 1.54. And this episode of Arrow, which we will be discussing tonight, titled Fundamentals, as Michelle said before, it is the 18th episode of the 6th season, to a live rating of, can you guys guess the first number?
1?
It is a 1. It is not a 0 this week.
Yes.
It is 1.06. So they just suddenly got over that 1 bar, but they did get over the 1 bar. And guys, I was thinking about this. I, every week, have been saying the ratings are really worrisome. The ratings are, they don't have a TV channel in all the markets. I mean, they're probably transforming their entire market to be like Hulu or Amazon Prime or Netflix and have an aired channel, but you go to their app and you go stream all their stuff and they give all the revenue from the ads on the app. So this live rating probably doesn't do any justice whatsoever to what the true rating is. It's probably closer to 3 or 4 as far as I'm concerned.
I'll have whatever you're having because it must be good.
Root beer.
Oh, there we go. Someone give me some root beer.
Yes, indeed. So I don't know. We'll see. It's definitely probably 2-ish, but I don't know if it's any more than that. And don't forget, they have the Netflix. I mean, when the kids get out of school in the summer and they catch up on all their shows, it's probably one that they might be catching up on. Depends on how the season ends. All right. Enough with the ratings talk. Let's talk about this specific episode. And we want to start by talking about fundamentals and how that relates to the overall theme. And I will turn it over to you, Michelle.
Yeah, fundamentals. Well, eventually Oliver says the thing where he says he has to get back to basics. And then Collins actually wonders if he's sane. He says fundamentally he locked in his impeachment because he fired the DA and the chief of police. It works on both levels.
I see. So getting back to the fundamentals for mayor, for him as the Hood, it was definitely back to the Hood costume.
And the Hood violence.
Oh, yeah. And the Hood drug, too, with the vertigo stuff. I seem to recall, by the way, that the Green Arrow had some sort of tolerance to vertigo that was built up. So maybe he needs to rebuild that tolerance up. Maybe he needs to rekindle his Leon Yu locker and just take some of those special herbs from time to time.
I was just making an assumption, perhaps it's wrong, that Diaz has a history in the drug market, that this is a bit of a modified variant of vertigo designed to specifically induce worse hallucinations and stuff like that. That's what I was assuming. Maybe I'm just filling in the gap incorrectly, though.
That's what I was thinking. It's new and improved. Bought to this city by a second-rate person that no one's heard of who got out of jail on a technicality. I just love how everybody just is like, I don't know who DS is. Who is this guy? I've never heard of this guy. Have you heard of this guy? No, I haven't.
And they've all been threatened by him and met him and are working for him. Yeah.
So the episode starts right in the middle of the action. And Chris, why don't you take us through like how the episode starts?
So everything starts and it's pretty much a beat down in the police station. We've got Oliver Queen back as the Hood, back with the eye grease, the grease paint and stuff like that. So he's not even with a mask. And he's just taking it to the cops. I mean, brutal fights like we've seen from season 1, jamming arrows into guys that are disabled on the floor, questioning people trying to find what's going on, throwing people through windows, shooting them into walls and seeing the drywall crack behind them. It's a pretty cool fight scene to open with, and it makes you realize how Oliver has kind of evolved as a fighter. He's a bit more measured in his responses now versus just laying waste to everyone, especially cops, even though they're probably mostly all dirty. Again, he's not as brutal as the Green Arrow as he is as the Hood. Maybe that's all a mentality thing, but man, brutal beatdown.
It was nice that the show at least described that the fact that the cops were on the take and that their families wouldn't be very happy with it, but they're being forced into it. And every single person that's been working for Diaz so far or along those lines have been claimed that they've been threatened or their families have been threatened or something like that. So it's hard to argue, but if everybody's being threatened, you'd figure they figure that out. And they would band together against Diaz? I don't know.
He's more powerful than we assume, I guess. He seems to have his fingers into everything in the city, be it the cops, the power grid, the sanitation department. He seems to have gotten involved in little bits of everything. So, I don't know. I guess people figure it's better to go along than risk the lives of their family.
Well, if Diaz is into everything the way that Kirk, the actor, is into every single geeky and sci-fi series, then yeah, okay, I'll give it to him. Like actor, like character.
Yeah, we still haven't discovered how much money he actually has and how he got it and how he got to the position that he is, but apparently that's going to be for another episode. Well, after the fight, we see the 10 hours earlier, that TV trope,
Real quick, before we did that, did you guys notice they changed the intro this week?
Yes.
It was just the Arrowhead from season one.
Which was nice.
Yes, nice callback.
And so, 10 hours earlier, we're in the Arrow Cave, and Felicity tries to make Oliver and Diggle kiss and make up, and Diggle's like, I got a job, and you know, we had that exchange. Then Oliver goes to the mayor's office, and he has a meeting with Collins. The impeachment's happening. The hearing's going to be in the afternoon. And then Collins shakes Oliver's hand. And at the moment, we didn't realize that was significant. It just seems like a very innocent goodbye. See you later. See you at the impeachment hearing. And Oliver goes home, and he's very upset. And he starts to yell, and he knocks something over. And Felicity says, you know, hey, I'll take care of William. You go away. And then Oliver ends up in the Arrow Cave. And at first, when Felicity appears, where she is like, I think we need some space and we need to separate. It's like, okay, that's very sudden. That was true. And then Quentin comes by. You don't look very good and such. And then somebody appears. SP, who appears?
Adrian Chase. Appears out of nowhere, and they have what a great fight. It was a fun fight.
It's brutal.
Yeah. They knocked over everything, and then all of a sudden, I think he was lying on the floor. He was like mortally wounded or something like that, Oliver was. And then all of a sudden, he got back up. He defeated Adrian, killed Adrian, snapped his neck, and then everything went back to normal. But then Adrian showed up again. So you knew something was up. You knew it was hallucination. You didn't know it was real. This was the first indication that he was hallucinating. Yes, he was acting out of character, but I would say this whole season is out of character for all the characters. So it's just very hard to discern what actually is going on and what is not. But the moment that we saw Adrian, I thought it actually could be two things. It could be either that this was a hallucination or Lazarus Pit, because we've discovered that there are three additional Lazarus Pit out there. So Adrian Chase could be alive. I mean, we haven't seen the body. Body wasn't taken care of.
Comic logic does come into play. I also enjoyed the fact that the gun that was in his hand when he came down to the Arrow Cave is the same one he used to shoot himself on the boat outside of Leon U with. I thought it was a nice little touch.
Apparently, it has an endless revolver ammo clip in it.
It's magical.
It's a hallucination. So, of course, there's endless bullets.
That's how we get out of it.
And I like how he has the scar right from where the bullet wound would have been to sort of like make it believable that he could be alive. And I thought that was a great touch.
I have to say, I really did enjoy the evil. Everyone talks about the angel and the devil on someone's shoulders is talking to them as a way to talk about dealing with their conscience. I enjoyed the fact that Josh Segarra got to come back and basically be the devil on Oliver's shoulder throughout this episode.
I was so happy to see him. And then he starts doing his Adrian Chase. And it just made me realize, one, the two villains of this season are lame. They're just lame. Because when you see Josh there as Adrian Chase, the energy, the way it's written, it just makes me miss last season. I thought last season was really good.
And the great musical theme for Adrian Chase as well.
Yeah, so I don't have a problem with Kirk's acting as the dragon once he got to be like the bad, once you knew that he was the bad. I have a problem with him getting up to that point because he just basically came out of nowhere. And even when he was part of the villain group beforehand, you never knew that he was capable of doing all this. I think the showrunners and the writers just miscalculated just a little bit. They didn't realize that the suspense over who the big bad was wasn't built up correctly. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that now, where this should be a momentous episode. And it is because of Adrian Chase, but it's not because of the dragon. So I think there's evidence of the miscalculation right there.
Well, Adrian tells Oliver that Oliver is his worst enemy.
That's been true since season one.
Yeah, he's been his own worst enemy for a long time.
So there are various hallucinations, and a lot of the hallucinations are basically of the same note. That theme of what Adrian said last season, Oliver, whatever he touches dies, whatever he gets involved in, he's ruined. Black Canary died, his team's in shambles, and all of these things. We got to see the Queen Mansion again. So, SP, what did you think of the types of hallucinations Oliver was having?
Kind of very reminiscent of the 100th episode, really, because you got to go back to all the actors that they could bring in for this particular episode and really go back into his history. I mean, they even went back so far as like a few hours after the Gambit left with Laurel. And it was nice seeing the Queen Mansion. I did have to orient myself a little bit because it didn't look like the Queen Mansion that I remembered, but I instantly knew where I was, sort of thing. I don't know if they actually filmed it in the building or not. I don't think they did. The sets have probably been dismantled. I don't think they keep those things after a few years because they have to reuse all the same shooting sets and everything. The stages they have to reuse. But when he's going through this person after person after person, he's going through it with, I am trying to figure out what's going on right here and what I've done right and what I've done wrong, especially after coming off the tails of last episode with Diggle. And what Diggle said really jabbed him hard. We knew it did. We knew it hit both of them hard. And this is his way of dealing with it. And he's got a drug trip to help him through it, really. And it just comes at a terrible time. Of course, Diaz knows this, so this was all planned. Like Diaz said, I don't want to kill him. And he says this to Laurel. I don't want to kill him. I want to string him along. I want to hurt him. I don't want him as a martyr. And in his actual vision, it says the same thing. So Oliver and Diaz are thinking the same way as far as that's concerned. That's interesting that they both have the same mindset on that.
Chris, what did you think of the different hallucinations Oliver had?
So I enjoyed all the different trips through different momentous occasions, rather he'd had in the past, and his worst case scenario that comes up. The hospital, I kind of enjoyed there because he brought up one of the same points I did back in, season 3? Why would you let Laurel be the Black Canary after she got a few rounds of practice with a self-defense instructor and blah, blah, blah? And he actually explained himself in a way I wish he had back then, which is she would have done it without, which is his way of trying to keep her safe. And I wish that had come into play seasons ago, because I buy that a little more than him just trying to continually push her away when she was trying to do it back then. So that was cool to see. It was cool to get a Haas moment back, I guess. I hadn't really missed Renee that much, but it's another point they need to keep pressuring on, is that Oliver, you really screwed up Renee. Yes, he gave you no choice, but you did, and that's something they're going to keep throwing at you. And it shows that he's at least got a little bit of guilt over the fact that he injured him so grievously, whether he had a choice to or not. And then the apartment, his worst case scenario, Diaz moves on his family. Ryza presumably going to die because she's been stabbed in the gut. Diaz shows up, taunts him, and then stabs him. These are all either moments that were bad in Oliver's life or his worst case scenario.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts was when Oliver at the impeachment hearing, and he has to present evidence that, and he has to say, where'd you get it from? I got it from the Green Arrow. And everybody's like rolling their eyes. And it's like, well, you got it from yourself. Good job. Adrian's at the end of the table first. And he's wearing the same tie and everything that Oliver is. And then it cuts. And then you kind of see flashes of Adrian like over his shoulder during the meeting. Then they go into the office. And then after Oliver's conversation with Quentin, Adrian comes along and he's like, you know, you're a good guy, but you really have poor choice in district attorneys.
This is true.
That was an amazing line.
Well, okay. Even if the district attorney turned out not to be such a schlub, and when he was, or she was, confronted with the blackmail, decided to not abide by Diaz, he would have been killed, or his family would have been killed, or something like that, or both. And they would just have appointed a new DA. So I don't, I mean, okay, I get the truth of the statement, and it is true. The last couple of DAs have been an issue, but it's hard to blame this DA too far.
That's true.
That's fair. I can go with that.
Eventually, Felicity, when she comes home, realizes that Oliver isn't where he's supposed to be. She calls Quentin. Quentin fills her in. And I liked it when she goes to the police station. First off, you know, William gives her sensible shoes so she can run there.
Those are not sensible shoes.
They're more sensible than whatever she was wearing, I wager.
Yeah. She follows the trail of bodies, and she's the one that talks him down. And I really thought that was a touching moment, you know, now that they're married, and where she says, you know, I'm glue. I am here. No, I did not say that I wanted a separation. I'm here for you. All that type of stuff. And she's like, you know, I went in there because my man was in trouble. And I thought it made sense that Felicity was the one that could talk him down. Considering where the relationship is, I don't think since Thea's gone, I don't think there's anyone else that could have talked him down.
Yeah, she's the only one left that could have done it with Thea being gone, because William wasn't going to snap him out of it. We saw Quentin have conversations with him, and interesting enough, the guy who was the Hood's biggest opponent now is arguably his biggest proponent now in season 6 of the show, unable to talk Oliver out of the actions he's going to take. Felicity's the only one that could have gotten to him.
I just hope that they go back to try to get Felicity some combat training, because her sneaking into that police station in the middle of a hostile situation was like a kindergartner trying to sneak ice cream in the kitchen. I mean, it wasn't really sneaky.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she'll take some classes now that she has been fired as Overwatch, because Oliver wants to go it alone.
She's got a whole company she's got to get back on track, either with or without Curtis. And don't forget, there was the matter of the 500,000 or million. It was a lot of money that she gave up for Oliver's bail.
I think it was 1,000. I don't think it was 500 mil. That'd be a lot.
Would, but not necessarily for a tech company. It is a lot. Don't get me wrong. Okay, so $500,000 she got in angel money that they were supposed to use as basically to kickstart, not as a Kickstarter, but to kickstart their company, and it's gone. And there has been no talk about the company for a while, the startup, because you've had the crybabies on the outs with original Team Arrow. So I think we're going to see some movement afoot in that direction. And she is not going to go for combat training, although she should. She so should get combat training.
But she hasn't really since, what was it, season 2, when she was fighting in the bottom of what the Arrow Cave was at that point in time? She's sparring.
Okay, so let me put it in these terms. So if you are a family member of a vigilante, and you know that you're the family member of a vigilante, not all family members know that they are a family member of the vigilante. But if you know, you know you got a target on your back. At some point in time, somebody's going to find out who the vigilante is, and they're going to try to hurt the vigilante by hurting the vigilante's family. So you got to be ready to go out and do something about that, just like family members of a cop, which is why Laurel had a shotgun in her apartment way back in season 1, and she knew how to use it.
No, that's fair. I don't disagree. I'm just saying they started that and then kind of dropped it. She really should be getting some training on how to help defend herself a little bit, because let's say Oliver's worst nightmare had come true and some of Diaz's thugs came to the apartment. They're pretty defenseless there, both her and William. They don't know how to fight much. I mean, Oliver taught him a little bit beginning of this season or whatever, was like, punch him, punch the bullies or something like that. But that was the extent of it.
Yeah, I think William has a better chance than Felicity, and that's not saying much.
Speaking of William, one of the interesting things that Oliver said to Felicity in the police station was basically, if I die, William has Felicity. And I'm going, wait a minute, you just became a dad. And you're like, hey, if I die, I'm okay with my son being with this woman that he's known for 10 minutes. And also, William has really come around very quickly with dad being the Arrow.
Well, he's got Felicity now. He said the same thing. if something happened to him, he's got Felicity or something to that effect. He said it to Oliver.
Was that in the hallucination, though?
No. This was a few episodes back he said that.
Oh, that's right. I don't have kids.
Me neither.
Yeah, okay. So what do you want to know about kids?
I mean, I know what I was like as a kid, and I did not all of a sudden become that well adjusted to my mom, to trauma. I mean, his mom's dead, and then his dad's a vigilante, and all that type of stuff.
Kids adapt in different ways, so unfortunately, it's a different world, at least in the United States, than it was when I was William's age, where divorce was still prevalent when I was that age, but it wasn't like commonplace. And it's common now. So you have blended families all over the place and kids that have multiple families because of it. Like they have families because mom got remarried and dad got remarried. And then they have additional families because maybe mom and dad get divorced again, but they still have these bonded relationships with the step parents. So it's really a versatile family structure, and kids need to be versatile enough to be able to latch on to different family structures at different times in their lives. It's unfortunate, but I think it says something about the kids that they're able to do that. Not all kids are that adaptable, though. I think William's a special person because, well, let's face it, he's the son of the Green Arrow and Berlin from the Defiant show. I mean, he's awesome.
Good point. It's a very good point. I have to admit, I'm not sure how I feel about this episode. This episode, it was well written. It was well acted. The fight in the police station, you know, again, gruesome. Seeing Adrian Chase back, that was great. But Oliver is saying, I got to go it alone. And I know he's supposed to be broken. But I just remember last season when Adrian and Talia kidnapped Oliver and they chained him up and they basically broke Oliver. I just feel like we've been here.
Yep. It seems awful repetitive. It also seems to me, if you take a look at multiple things, that the writers and showrunners, despite their public statements, really thought this was it for the series. And they were really gunning for the last episode of the season to be it for the series. And that's not going to be the case anymore. We're going to get another season. We don't know how many episodes, but we're going to get another season. So where do you go from here? I mean, you've got a broken Oliver, but if you build him back up to what? Are you literally going to go back to Oliver being the sole hood, basically, the sole vigilante for next year, and you don't have a team? So what do you do outside of Oliver and his activities? Who do you bring in as actors? The city is broken as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, the showrunners have said it's a thriving city and they're just hardy and that's why they don't leave. But I don't know. I just don't get it. So I think that's the point. I don't get it. I'm not sure in what's going on. And the writers haven't even said, really, trust us. The showrunners haven't gotten to the point of saying, we've got you covered. Don't worry. Just stay into it till the end. Maybe it's because we've been burned by, what is it, season six? So five previous seasons. We've been burned like three out of the five seasons when it comes to a season finale. So, I mean, no wonder the ratings are where they're at.
Well, and there's a concern of what they're going to do now because they're saying there's a big twist at the end of this season. It's going to shake up the dynamic of everything, but it's not quite the same as our other cliffhangers. We talked about it last week, so we'll have to see what happens there. That being said, Oliver going it alone, anytime Oliver suffers a severe trauma, he does not act rationally. We've seen this throughout the show. His mind has been screwed with. He had hallucinations that have brought his worst fears to life. He's had to confront some of his own personal demons again. So this is Oliver that doesn't think rationally, anything like that. That's why he's going it on his own again. Obviously, Felicity's going to come back into the fold at some point, and he'll probably have to team up with new Team Arrow to some extent when it's all said and done. But honestly, I think next season, the team you're going to be looking at is Ollie, Roy, and Felicity, and then new Team Arrow out there somewhere, and Argus out there doing something, and then maybe some intermixing of teams, but there's got to be a reason they're bringing Roy back. And maybe they're setting the stage right here by having him push everyone away. It's Roy that comes back next season and kind of forces his way back into Oliver's life and says, no, you can't do this by yourself. I'm here to help you, and puts everything back on track. I'm not sure, but there's some reason, a good reason, that they've got to be bringing Colton Haynes back. I mean, I'm happy to see him come back, but he got a perfect send-off, so let's figure out how it's going to work story-wise. And maybe this is all build up for that.
You know what would save next season?
If it was the last?
A shorter episode order, in all honesty. 13 to 16 episodes, I think, would save it.
Deathstroke.
Well, yes, he should have been in these hallucinations, too, but we all know they're not allowed to touch the character of Deathstroke again, so that's why.
Yep.
That's one of the things that's hurt this show the most, is they bring someone in, they get them popular, and then Big Daddy DC says, oh, the Suicide Squad stuff you were setting up? No, we're making a movie, you can't have him. This Deathstroke stuff, everyone loves Manu Bennett as Deathstroke, you've had him on the show for 2 seasons, and then had him playing bit roles here and there. No, we want to make a movie, so we can't have 2 Deathstrokes at the same time. Yes, you can, it makes no sense. It's the same thing we had. If you read any of the Star Wars books in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a character by the name of Anakin Solo in there, where Lucasfilm basically said, no, you need to kill him off because we're doing the prequels with Anakin Skywalker and we don't want people confusing them. It's a lame argument.
How do we think this season's going to end?
Oliver Queen unmasks himself publicly and lives life as an outed superhero.
SP?
I almost thought that was going to happen today, and it didn't. Oh, one thing that bothered me about the episode today, by the way, is this whole... Let's call the federal FBI agent. Agent Watson, is that her name? Watson?
Yeah.
I don't know. She hasn't been on in 10 episodes.
Right. But they're both Quentin and Oliver's like, well, let's call her. And then she does nothing. And why did they even bring it up? I just don't get it. It was a dead end. And that whole storyline, I don't care about. And they seem intent on keeping on bringing it back. I mean, they have to conclude it, but it's just stupid to me.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. I have no clue at this point.
So, Chris, you think he's going to have the I am Iron Man moment. SP, what do you think the big twist of the season finale is supposed to be?
It'd be great if he finally just gave it up and gave it back to Diggle, but I don't think that's going to happen. The big twist at the... Maybe he leaves Star City.
That'd be interesting.
I mean, and not hides out at Leon U, which, I mean, the island, like, blew up, but it's still there. I think he's gone to Russia, so that's kind of out. Cordo Montes is out. I don't know. Maybe he goes on the quest to shut down the Lazarus Pit with Nyssa and Thea, even though they left the show. I don't know. They've left it to the point where they're not really giving me too much of excitement over even speculating what's going to happen. I think Chris is absolutely right. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's the best way to shoot things. Keep him in Star City, unmask him, and move ahead. This is what gives so much credence to that, by the way, Chris. This is what the MCU has done, and it has worked for them, so we're going to try it on a DC TV show.
Yeah, look at the MCU. Who's the only superhero that has a secret identity? It's Spider-Man. Look at the rest of them. There's no one else that really has a secret identity. Well, Daredevil, sort of.
Yeah, Daredevil.
Sort of.
I mean, it's not well protected. It's the problem they have on this show is that the identities really aren't that well protected. People find out. But the thing is, Marvel took a chance in 2008 with Iron Man, and they basically said, oh yeah, this whole thing of him being his own bodyguard, we're going to throw that on its head, and let's go back to some of the stuff that has worked, which is no secret identity, and then everything from that point forward, you haven't really seen in the movie side of things, other than Spider-Man, anyone with a secret identity, and it's an interesting play to make, and I think it could make for an interesting story this season, or this upcoming season in Arrow, because you've got Oliver Queen, who may or may not become mayor again, who's got to live that life in public, but also everyone knows he's a superhero trying to do right by the city. They've done it in the comics before, it has some interesting implications for William and Felicity, having to live in the public eye where everyone knows that's the son and wife of the Green Arrow. There's a lot of cool stuff they could play with if they did that. Now, the more this theory picks up, the more I'm thinking it's not going to happen just because there's a tradition of anytime we think we've got something pegged, they like to flip it on its head and be like, oh, we made you think that, and they do something else. So I think it's the most likely thing, but I think because it's the most likely thing, it won't happen now, if that makes sense.
No, we didn't even talk about the fact that Quentin has a big target on his back now because he is the mayor.
Oh, yeah. I wrote in my show notes, I said something to the effect of, I know I always say Quentin's going to die, but I think he's going to die now because he's the leader that Diaz doesn't control who's in charge of the city. And what happens if they get rid of him? Diaz can insert one of his own people in as the mayor.
Because I think that would be interesting that Oliver loses. And maybe Diaz is mayor. Maybe it is somebody who he picks. Maybe just Diaz wins and he takes over everything and people are okay with it because they're like, well, the trains are running on time.
The fans won't be okay with it. But yeah, the writers would write it that Star City would be okay. Yeah.
Look, I think it's safe to assume that as we get into the finale of this season, we're going to be in dire straits because we do know Katie Lotz is coming back as Sarah in the finale of Arrow. So they're bringing in some firepower from arguably the best show they have to help support this, who makes sense because she's been involved in this Arrow universe since its inception almost. So something is going to happen. Maybe she's the big gun that's brought in to kind of help Oliver out because he's floundering on his own. I don't know.
Yeah, I just hope she comes back and she smacks sense into every single person.
Especially over all this Laurel nonsense.
Yeah, you are not my sister.
Yeah. Maybe she'll just kill fake Laurel.
You have failed this family.
Well, I mean, if Lance is going to die and they kill him in the penultimate episode this season, it kind of makes sense that Sarah would show up in the finale if Daddy Lance just died.
I could see Sarah coming back to kill Laurel about that, but I can see them wanting to keep Laurel around for next year.
Oh, I'm sure they want to keep her around. Look at what they've done with the character this season. It should not have, this character should not have been around for this entire season, but they keep finding ways to keep it around.
She is so not okay with Diaz, though. I mean, you got to give her that. She is playing the long game because she can't get out of Diaz's control, but yet, you know, she's not totally on board with everything that he's doing.
Seemingly so, yes.
Okay, fair enough. Seemingly.
I think she has a line that if Diaz crosses, she'll really become uncomfortable.
I thought you were talking about a dialogue line.
No.
What line did she have? She only had one line? I don't know. Okay, so another thing we didn't talk about is the fact that Felicity is a science fair goddess, because even though Oliver completely destroyed the science fair thing, Felicity was somehow able to get it back together and get William a second place. Now, maybe there was only two people in the science fair, but the second place is usually pretty good. And to go from having nothing to something that is second place in that span of time, amazing. Because remember, they were late when that thing was destroyed.
That's true.
Well, she hacked Napster back in the day, so she's got it going on.
What's Napster? She's getting old. She's tired. She's got running shoes that aren't really running shoes. They look like grandma running shoes. So just saying.
Chris, anything else you want to talk about with the episode?
So kudos to them. I don't know about you guys. I had no clue that Joshua Segarra was coming back at all. I never saw anything pop up online. I never saw anything on Twitter. So it was a well-executed reveal. I was like, whoa. Where the hell did this come from? This is awesome. And I really enjoyed the surprise of it. So kudos to everyone for keeping that locked up tight. Because remember, we all knew that Slade was coming back last season, despite the denials and things like that. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, we've seen him in Vancouver. We're good to go. We know he's coming back. So they kept Josh Segarra under wraps. Nobody knew he was showing up, or if they did, they just didn't share. And it was a great reveal.
Or here's the other flip side to that. Nobody cared.
Well, I like my positive outlook on
it. Okay. Fair enough.
SP, do you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good.
Well, next week, the episode is called The Dragon. It's season 6, episode 19. It will air Thursday, April 19th, 2018. Looking to expand his empire, Diaz and Laurel meet with the Quadrant, a coalition of mafia families who run national organized crime. Meanwhile, after Oliver's recent decision, Felicity and Curtis double their efforts on building Helix Dynamics. Directed by Gordon Verhuell and written by Spiro
Skentos
and Elizabeth Kim.
All right, that's it for the episode this week, but stay tuned. We got some news for you. Live from the Starling Tribune main news desk on Earth 2 and on Earth Floor 52 of the Starling Tribune Tower, it's the weekly DCCW News Roundup with Chief News Anchor Michelle Ealy. And now, Michelle Ealy.
Well, Chris, you already talked about this news bit, but why don't you go ahead and cover it again?
Right. So I brought it up because it made sense to the plot, but surprise, surprise, guys. Colton Haynes is coming back as a series regular for season 7 of Arrow. Hot on the heels of Willa Holland departing, Colton Haynes has signed on to return as a regular for season 7. We're very fortunate and excited to welcome Colton back to Arrow, the Arrow executive producer said in a statement. While we've always enjoyed Colton's returns to the series, we couldn't be more thrilled to have him return as a proper series regular, and we're very excited about all the opportunities Roy Harper's return affords us. Haynes added in saying, I could not be happier to return to my role as Roy Harper alongside my Arrow family.
That's a rousing round of applause, because I think this is awesome. Colton Haynes has fit in well with the show. I know he had some personal issues and then he wanted to try out another show, but I really enjoy him coming back to this show. Of course, storyline wise, my headcanon is go out on the quest with Thea and Nyssa, but if you're not going to do that, come back to the show and regale us with your awesomeness.
From a personal standpoint, I'm thrilled to see him come back. From the storyline standpoint, I'm like, you guys just gave him like this awesome farewell and you're going to bring him back. So what is it you're going to do to do it? And you better not be killing off Thea and Nyssa to make him come back.
Oh, that would be so bad.
I told you there's a bad thing that could happen.
Why did you go there?
Because I'm a pessimist. Oh.
Doesn't Star City think he's a dead criminal?
Yes. He's the Hood. Because Oliver wasn't. But if Oliver unmasks, I guess he can take the blame for that too, even though there's... What's the statute of limitation on murder as a vigilante?
There is no statute of limitations for murder.
Yeah, so I guess who knows what they're going to do.
Unless he's pardoned. Quentin could pardon him in this world. A mayor can pardon somebody.
There you go. He'll just get a sweeping pardon as the Green Arrow / Hood or whatever, and then clears Roy's name, and Roy can live himself out in the open as not having been the Hood. Does that mean he's openly out as Arsenal then?
I would be fine with him openly out about anything.
Yeah.
This is almost as confusing as an episode of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
When it comes to the time mechanics.
Temporal mechanics, yeah.
Yeah. Well, moving on to general DC news, CW has confirmed that the Supergirl season finale will be Monday, June 18th. The show does come back tomorrow, April 16th, so it seems like we're going to get straight Supergirl. So it's nice to know, you know, how long we have.
Are they going to air it on Memorial Day Monday?
Presumably. They aired Arrow on Thanksgiving, so I don't think they really care about days off anymore.
That would be a travesty, in my opinion. They should not do that. But that's just my opinion. And apparently my opinion doesn't really count for DC, so it really doesn't matter.
Well, if my opinion counted, we'd have a lot more Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And Chris, you have another story for us?
Yes, let's talk Legends of Tomorrow. We know it just wrapped. They had their season finale. I thought it was fantastic. I'm not going to talk about it now because we'll talk about it on the show at a later date. But I've made no bones about it. Legends Tomorrow is the show I've been having the most fun with this season. And the Legends Tomorrow boss did address the returns of Amaya, Rip, and potentially more. Mark Guggenheim did an interview with Entertainment Weekly where he said, yes, Maisie will absolutely be back. We felt like we owed it to the character to complete this arc, complete the story loop we got her in. Once we took her off the path in 1942, it was always incumbent upon us to return her to that path. That was something that hung over us as writers and hung over the character. I'm looking forward to a different storyline for Amaya next year. And in this same article, he did also say that while Rip Hunter is dead, there's no body, and they play with time travel all the time, so there's no reason Arthur Darvill could not return at some point as Captain Rip Hunter.
So while Amaya didn't really get a rousing send, she didn't get a Roy rousing send-off or a Thea rousing send-off. She did get an emotional send-off. I kind of wanted that to be it.
Me too.
So I like the actress, I like the character, but like, let's move on.
You've got plenty of characters that you can move on to. That's the thing. And you've got bringing in John Constantine in this upcoming season. The Wave Rider is going to be a full ship. This was a good send off for her. And I don't know how you bring her back in and don't have the same problem again of, we just screwed up the timeline because she's supposed to be in 1942 so that she can have kids and pass on the totems and do all sorts of stuff, even though we broke time. So I'm very confusing.
They've confused also, right now. They've already broken that timeline because they've saved the village, right?
That's true. And Kawasa is now sharing the totem with Mary. Mm. So I'm not sure where they're going to go with it, but I do think it was a good send-off for the character. There's no reason to bring her back next season. And honestly, I don't know about you guys. I'm sure we'll touch on it more when we do Legends tomorrow. I was getting a little tired of Amaya and some of the dumb decisions she was making in regards to her family, but still wanting to stay out of time. So I wish they just stuck with this as being her send-off and maybe did like a one or two episode arc where they had to go and find her and Zambezi for something.
Questionable decision. We'll see how they execute it.
I just wish they made Nate the baby daddy and they could have sent both off into the Zambezi sunset.
Maybe that's what their end goal is to get Nate off the Wave Rider, and you do it by bringing her back and have a little storyline, and then he is the baby daddy.
Yeah, it's still possible.
Well, that's all that we have for news. And we actually have some feedback this week.
We do.
Yes, we actually had a comment on our YouTube video from our show, Brothers in Arms. PFruit0916 said, okay, so ratings dipped under a million because Arrow was preempted by a sports game. It was all over social media that people were livid. They tuned in to watch and couldn't. I can almost guarantee that they will make it up in Live Plus 3 and on the CW app and through DVR, Amazon, Google, etc. And that's very true.
Wait a minute. They were preempted by a sports game. It wasn't here, so I don't think it was.
It depends on the market, because I do know it's been happening before that in some places, like a baseball game could preempt it or something like that if it got weather delayed. It just depends on whether CW stations in certain markets have sports. Where I am, nothing. See, it aired at its regular time. So it just depends on what market this was in.
Yeah, so I guess that's my point. It's not nationwide, so it would only affect a select portion of the market.
But if you hit one of the big cities, that's going to be a pretty decent hit to your ratings. Like if it was in New York, preemption, that's probably going to hurt a little bit.
Are they being preempted by the Mets or the Yankees? Because nobody cares about the Mets.
I mean, it could have also been LA and you could have had the Dodgers or something like that too. So
nobody cares about sports in LA.
Are they like the Dodgers when they're winning?
Oh. Well, they went on. Oliver has needed backup in the field since season one. This is nothing new. Him needing backup is in no way says that he still can't take down multiple villains. Realistically, if he consistently walked into a building and fought an army of men alone, then walked out without a scratch, people would say it's absurd.
I think people say that the show is absurd because of the abilities or non-abilities of the... Yeah, so what she's saying here is, okay, I get it. You're danged if you do, danged if you don't. And, oh, okay. But still, I think that as a trained assassin and as a single vigilante for years now, he needs to be portrayed as a little bit more capable than he actually is. But that's just my two cents.
Well, we might be starting to see some of that now with his forced return to basics. He's got no one else to rely on. He's going to have to be pretty cutting edge, the sharp end, the pointy end of the spear. He's going to have to be on top of his game.
Well, the return to basics, return the salmon ladder, and return shooting CGI tennis balls with CGI arrows.
That'd be awesome if it did.
Yeah.
Does this mean also going back to killing people?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I would say no, but who knows?
I mean, he did just cross the line again, even though it was in a hallucination this time. He didn't really hesitate to kill Adrian.
In the classic neck break maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all that we have for feedback. We are part of the GonnaGeek.com network where we have a lot of podcasts. And Chris, tell us about one show that we have.
Sure thing, Michelle. We've got 25 plus different shows in the network. We can't very well highlight all of them each week because that would be a separate podcast in and of itself. But what we can do is highlight one show, give you a taste of it, and say, hey, you guys might want to go check this out. So this week we're talking about episode 57 of the Operation Pug podcast, entitled The Big Announcement Cast. An exciting announcement for Operation Pug, plus video games, movies, and why phasers are the cruelest weapon of all. You can catch all of that and more on episode 57 of the Operation Pug podcast over at GunnaGeek.com. And while you're there, also feel free to check out any of the other shows that have a spot on the network. We've got things for whatever your tastes may be.
I'm going to check this out. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to check this out because I always thought disruptors were the cruelest weapons of all.
Me too. That's why I'm very curious to see where they go with this. It's an interesting debate for Star Trek fans, I'm sure. So I'll be checking out episode 57 of the podcast. All that being said, though, looking at the time, it is time for us to start wrapping up this latest installment of the Starling Tribune. A big thank you to everyone who participated in the chat room over at Geeks.live, and also those who watch the replays of the videos over on YouTube.com/GunnaGeek, or also the audio versions of the podcast that you can pull from StarlingTribune.com.
And remember, you can always catch us live as we record at www.geeks.live. Yes, that is actually a website. www.geeks.live at 6 p.m. Eastern or 3 p.m. Pacific on Sundays.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Science Fair Goddess.
At Chris Farrell.
Hashtag What's Napster.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag We've Been Here Before. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.